Hey everyone, Matt here. As you can probably tell by the intro music and me talking to you right now, that unfortunately there will not be a new episode of The Adventures of Cinnamon and Oatmeal this month. Which, I mean, it sucks. You know, I'm not going to lie. We worked super hard to get these episodes out, minimum one a month, you know, and this time it's not going to happen. There's just a lot of stuff going on right now. COVID's still out there. It hit our family pretty hard in the last couple weeks. And everyone's fine. Luckily, everyone got through it. But it's scary, man. I mean, everyone who got hit had like zero interactions with each other for several weeks. Which means they all got it from somewhere else. Which makes it even scarier. But yeah, Sam was out of commission for a while. Myself, I didn't get COVID, but I got something else. I still don't know what it was. And I lost about 2 weeks worth of editing time. So, you know, we were trying to crank it out, trying to just rush this episode to edit it. And it just didn't. It wasn't good. So we don't want to give you all crappy stuff, you know. So we kind of said we're going to cut our losses. We'll say we're going to take this additional month to work on the episode. So next month, you will get the next chapter, the next installment of The Adventures of Cinnamon and Oatmeal. However, in the meantime, we want to kind of give you something just to you know, so you don't have to wait that long. So we decided that we're going to try and throw out some Sam Chats. So essentially what the Sam Chat is, it's our show on Patreon, where usually we talk about the previous episode and we talk about Cinnamon Oatmeal, we talk about the show, we talk about just D&D news, you know, whatever, everything, anything we want to talk about, really. But since we're not having a Cinnamon and Oatmeal show this month, we said, well, why don't we just do extra Sam Chats for everyone, not just the Patreon. We'll just do it for everyone. We'll just throw it up on the main channel. So here we are. However, we've tried filming or recording this episode 3 times already, and it has not worked. The software we use to record has not been working. The second time, Sam's internet wasn't working, and now Sam's lost power. So instead of the Sam Chat, today you get the Am Chat, which just stands for and Matt, because there's no Sam. So if you've ever wanted to just listen to me talk, well, you came to the right place, because here we are. It probably won't go too long today. Basically, what I've been trying to do this episode for a while, I just wanted to talk about homebrew, because obviously The Adventures of Cinnamon and Oatmeal, it's very homebrew, because there is no official teddy bear race in the worlds of Dungeons and Dragons. So we had to make our own. So that's what today is going to be, the and Matt Chat. And we're going to be talking about teddy bear homebrew race. Let's get into it. Let's see. First off, D&D, Wizards of the Coast, have been changing a lot of stuff. Let's talk about ability score increases. Originally, when we first made this class, oh god, it was so long ago. Basically, what you need to know is like the teddy bear race we were playing in like episodes 1 and 2 is different from the race we were playing in like 4 and 5. And it's different than the race we're playing now here in, it's officially August 2022. So it's like an amoeba. It just keeps changing and morphing. And if something doesn't work, we tweak it. That's the beauty of homebrew. So we're going to get into it. You might think this is a little bit overpowered, and it kind of is, but don't worry. I have a solution to that, and we'll save that for the end. So, but first, this race. Back when we made it, they were still using like the ASI scores. So when you originally made a teddy bear, we figured you get a +2 to charisma and a +1 to dexterity. I don't know if you need that explained. I mean, that's what teddy bears are. There's, you know, hella charisma. And they're small, so I imagine they're fast. But now, after, you know, the past several books that Wizards have released, now it's kind of like, you know what, do what you want with ability scores, add 2 to 1 and 1 to another. So go for it. That's up to you. Age as well. They're toys, you know, teddy bears, they're stuffed animals. They're made out of cotton, you know, a variety of different materials that you can use. So there's not really an age limit or a lifespan that's known of. We're going to leave that to you and your dungeon master. However, we will say teddy bears are immune to magical aging effects. So, yeah, do with that as you may. I imagine you could probably, you could roleplay it like they get worn out if they're being aged. You know, they start losing their color, they start losing some of their fur. But I think most magical effects like that, it's not permanent. It's usually just temporary. At least the stuff that I've run into. So that shouldn't really be an issue, mechanically speaking. I think you should be all right. As far as alignment goes, they're toys. Stuffed toys come with all alignments. I like to think that they're mostly good. Because if you kind of think of like the real world lore of teddy bears, it's that they're given to kids as like a companion or something to hug, to hold. If you really want to get like mythical about it, they're guardians of children. So I kind of figure they most likely be good. But just like all D&D, it's kind of up to you and your storyline. Maybe the child grows up to be a little bad. Does the teddy bear rebel against his kid? Or does the teddy bear grow and start to share the same beliefs as the kid? So now you have like think about that. Like if Darth Vader had a teddy bear. That would be one lawful evil teddy bear if he stuck by his side. I don't know. There's a lot of cool ideas there. Size. As far as size, they're tiny. You know? Yeah, that's it. I mean, I guess you could, you know, every Valentine's Day, I see that big 6-7 foot tall teddy bear at the grocery store. I guess you could play one of those too. That would be a medium-sized creature. I don't think it probably wouldn't really affect anything mechanically. And that's something what we're seeing a lot now in modern D&D. It's only, I want to say, the last year, maybe two, where we've actually had quote-unquote tiny races. And the most notable one I know is the fairies. And even then, I think they're considered small, but they get to choose, or you as a player get to choose if you want to look like tiny or not. So you can have like a little 12-inch fairy, but mechanically speaking, there's no, there's nothing negative about that. You're still treated like a small creature, which is usually, I think that's considered like somewhere between 3 and 4 feet tall, somewhere around there. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, if you want to treat your teddy bear as a medium-sized creature, go for it. Which gets to our speed. I say they're teddy bears, they're small, so give them the base walking speed of 25. I think that's something Wizards is getting away from, but I still like it. I mean, all dwarves are 25 feet, their walking speed, I believe. So I don't know. I mean, I just to me, that's fun. You know, everyone's trying to run away from a dragon or something, and it's just a little harder for you because you're so short. I kind of dig that challenge, but again, I don't think that extra 5 feet isn't going to make a big, it does make a big deal, like as far as combat goes and stuff, but I don't think it's going to make that much of a big deal in the fun factor of playing this character. So do what you will with that. Of course, talk to your DM about it. Sure, if it's a 7 foot tall teddy bear, I'm pretty sure he'd probably move like 30 feet. So yeah, that's all, you know, languages is the same as everything else. You can speak, read, and write common and one other language of your choice. So all this has pretty much been very basic D&D character creation. But now we're getting into the nitty gritty. With furry resilience. You were created to have remarkable fortitude presented by the following benefits. So this I was really, I kind of used the Warforged as inspiration because the Warforged, I don't want to say they're not real, they are. It's like something that's not real, becomes real almost. I think they're described as pieces of metal and wood that are kind of magically brought together and is powered magically. So they're people. They can they have a consciousness. They can do magical abilities if they choose. They can't. There's a lot of things in D&D that could essentially snuff out magic. Warforged aren't affected by that because essentially the magic just brought them to life and now they're living creatures. It's the same way with the teddy bears. So a teddy bear runs up against a beholder. He's not going to just like stop moving when he's in like the eye cone, you know, that gets rid of magic. Because he's alive. I mean, technically, teddy bears, they're not breathing, but it's a living creature now. So you can't just, like, you know, counter. You can't counter a living creature. So that's kind of why I went with the Warforged for inspiration. So, and I think by what I tell you, you're definitely going to see why that is. You have, as a teddy bear, you have dark vision out to 20 feet. You have resistance to poison damage. You don't need to eat, drink, or breathe. You are immune to disease. And lastly, you are immune to fall damage. So let's break this down. Obviously, lots of Warforged influence here. Resistance to poison. You don't need to eat, drink, or breathe. You're immune to disease. It's, yeah, you know, because they don't have like the anatomies that like usual living, breathing creatures do. Having dark vision out to 20 feet, I don't know, it's just, it feels like a teddy bear. I'm a big fan of the cleric, oh god, what is it called? Circle of the Stars, right? I should know, I'm playing one in a home game right now. I think it's crazy, they get like, I want to say dark vision out to 300 feet, you know, and that, because that pertains to their subclass, I love that. I went the opposite direction with the teddy bears. One, I think they need dark vision because that's their whole deal. You know, they protect kids while they sleep. But they're usually in a bedroom, so they don't need to see hundreds of feet out. So I just took it down to 20 feet, which is a lot bigger than most bedrooms, I think. But it's still kind of big enough that, you know, you can see ahead of you in a dungeon and stuff like that. So you have dark vision out to 20 feet. Then we get to the fun one. Teddy bears, as a teddy bear, you are immune to fall damage. This was something I saw online, and it's really tricky when you're watching like or reading other homebrews for inspiration, because you don't want to straight up take anything, especially if you're going to publish it. And this isn't something we're publishing at all. But that is something that always came up with teddy bears, was how they take double damage from fire, which I think is way too powerful of a thing. There's no way. It's Dungeons and Dragons. You know, most people need fire to see in a dungeon. Most dragons breathe like fire. Or not most, but like the popular ones. The ones in all. The one in the freaking trailer shot acid, but then you see the fire dragon at the end in the trailer for the new movie. Dragons, fire, they go together, you know? Like, I don't know, ham and cheese. I just think that's there's no way you're going to survive a whole campaign being vulnerable to fire. So that I kind of took out, but more on that later. But the other one that I kept seeing online was that they were immune to fall damage. And I don't know, like the D&D homebrew community just kind of decided, they're like, yeah, this makes sense. I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, everything they're made out of, they don't really have any internal organs. So if they take a big fall, it's probably going to hurt. But it's not going to kill them. And to me, that just seems fun. Super fun. Immune to fall damage. I can't wait till we get into some sky battles. We're going to be trying to jump ship to ship. But at the same time, it's a thing where like, well, you're immune to fall damage, but you're still going to fall. You know, so it's not going to kill you, but you're still at the bottom of this, whatever, like the cliff or at the bottom of the trap. Or if it's a sky battle, your character's no longer in a battle because you fail. So although you're not dead, you're still out of it. How are you going to find your way back to your party? There's so many different, you know, little story beats that this can lead to, I dig it. And I also just imagine, like, what if you have like a party of all teddy bears and they need to sneak in somewhere and they just like, they pull off a Mission Impossible. They just like halo drop in, no parachutes or anything. And they just fly in. Still going to mess them up when they hit the ground, but they'll be in. So I don't know. And also, I guess as a Dungeon Master stuff, you can still explain how like their gear breaks. Cause they're still there. I don't know what you're playing. Maybe you're wearing armor or you have swords or whatever. Like your gear will still get messed up from a fall. Yeah, but the teddy bears themselves, immune to fall damage. And I love the endless possibilities that's going to bring up. Which, hit us up. Hashtag Cinnamon Oatmeal. If you play teddy bear and you're immune to fall damage, I want to hear what kind of crazy shenanigans you get up to. Lastly, when you take a long rest, this one's called Teddy's Rest. When you take a long rest, you may choose to spend at least 6 hours in an inactive, motionless state rather than sleeping, much like a Warforged. In this state, you appear inert, but it doesn't render you unconscious, and you can hear and you can see and hear as normal. That just makes sense to me. Again, teddy bears are supposed to protect kids while they sleep. I guess that could just mean, you know, they stay up all night. But if you're playing this as a D&D character, you still need your rest. That's how you get all your abilities back. That's how you heal. So you can't have a campaign where a character just stays awake the whole time. So, yeah, they still need the rest, but it doesn't make them unconscious, which means there's no... It depends how your DM runs it, because I know people do it differently. I've seen DMs, if they're having someone sneak up on you while you're sleeping, you have to make a perception check, disadvantage, because you're asleep, you're not paying attention. Or they'll do like a passive perception check, but they'll roll stealth at advantage to try and sneak up. So there's different ways people do it differently. But essentially what this means is you're not unconscious, which means there's no negative. It's all the same. It doesn't matter if you're sleeping or if you're straight up sitting up looking out into the darkness. You shouldn't suffer any kind of penalty from this, because as a teddy bear, this is what you do. It's almost like your perception gets stronger when you're sleeping. Yeah, okay, so that's the bulk of it, which I think is already bigger than most D&D races already. That's just a lot of kind of perks you get. But I mean, it's all very... I think most of it is very base things. The ones that really stand out that are kind of extra, or I see like above average, teddy bears are immune to magical aging effects. They're immune to fall damage. And I mean, sleeping doesn't make them unconscious, you know? That's still really not a lot. Go have fun. However, if you want more of a challenge, you could do what Sam and I do. Because we did kind of want to balance it a bit. Because we do feel like there are some good abilities in there. Some kind of strong abilities. And we didn't want people saying, oh, they're immune to fall damage. Blah, blah, that's overpowered. Blah, blah, blah. So we did add some extras. That's kind of, I guess, like a negative. It's kind of a penalty for playing a teddy bear race. And the reason we did it is because one, is challenging. Two, it makes us think more strategically about the game we're playing. And three, they're teddy bears. You know, they're teddy bears. They're not the biggest, strongest, you know, characters. We didn't homebrew a dinosaur race. You know, we homebrewed a race based on children's toys, children's imaginary friends. So we wanted to put some kind of penalty. Now, I understand Wizards of the Coast is no longer doing that. If I remember correctly, like kobolds and orcs had like negative modifiers to intelligence, something like that. And they've you know, they've retconned that. They fixed that in like the newer editions and all that stuff. So, but this is what Sam and myself use while playing Cinnamon and Oatmeal. There's two of them in particular. One, cute demeanor. Teddy bears have disadvantage on all intimidation checks. It just makes sense. Whether you're looking at them or you're hearing their cute little teddy bear voices, it's kind of hard to be intimidated by that. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. Maybe I guess there could be an argument if you want to bring it up to your dungeon master to like maybe your teddy bear can change their voice in some way, either with like a spell or cantrip or something, some kind of mimicry. I guess that could be argued that if there is no, if you can't physically see the teddy bear, you don't get the disadvantage on intimidation checks. That could be argued. I'd probably allow that in my game if someone did it. But they'd have to do a convincing voice. So the second big one, the big penalty is flammable. So like I was saying earlier, people had all these crazy things like, oh, they're vulnerable to fire. That's pretty, that's a challenge. That's playing like on a hard mode. I feel like, I think what fireball, what level is fireball available at? It's only level 3 spell, so that's pretty early in the game. And so you don't have a lot of hit points at that point. Especially if you're playing like a wizard. If you're playing a wizard teddy bear and you get hit by a fireball, like, I don't see any way you're surviving that. I mean, because wizards have their glass cannons anyway. And then you're telling me this teddy bear is going to take double damage on a fireball? Yeah, that's crazy. So I got rid of that. Instead, I just put that you have disadvantage on any saving throw involving fire damage. That's it. So it's not any more damage than you would normally take. It's just disadvantage. Because you're cute, cuddly, and made of flammable material. Or not even flammable. It's just, it'll burn like anything. That, yeah, you know, you got extra fur or fuzz. So the flames kind of reach out and hit a little harder. It'll stick to you longer. It's harder to stop, drop, and roll when you're covered in fur. So that's why we added that. So if you want, you could add that to your game as well. Or if your DM is listening to this, he can add this to, you know, challenge you. Or if he thought the everything before was kind of not balanced, you can do that. You could also do things that are character specific. So like all of that right there, that's the race. That's what me and Sam play. Sam, however, has gone a step further because his teddy bear in real life, Oatmeal, has like a little rattle in the stomach. So when he was young, he was a little baby, we'd always hear the little rattle rolling around. You're like, oh, Oatmeal's moving. So in game, the way Sam is playing it is that Oatmeal has a rattle inside of him. So all of Oatmeal's stealth checks are made with disadvantage if he is moving. So any kind of stealth based on movement is at disadvantage for Oatmeal. And I think it's already got him into some trouble so far in the campaign. So the only way it wouldn't really affect him is if he's hiding. If he's just standing still, he's fine. But as soon as he starts moving, that's a disadvantage to stealth. Yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. That's the teddy bear race. I do kind of do something different with like NPCs, because I know we haven't really met any other teddy bears in the campaign other than Cinnamon and Oatmeal, which is something like I kind of wish we introduced earlier, because I mean, this is already what, we're 4 or 5 months into this, and so far the only bears are Cinnamon and Oatmeal. But also I didn't realize that we'd be cutting these games into several episodes each just because they were so long. We will meet more teddy bears and not just bears, just other stuffed animals in general. We're going to be meeting a whole plethora of, I guess I can't even call them teddies, because teddies are bear specific. We'll just call them stuffies for now. But these are the teddy bear traits, which, I mean, I do use these for all the other stuffed animals, but it's not as in-depth. It's a little different. They don't get all the benefits that Cinnamon and Oatmeal do. Cinnamon and Oatmeal aren't from this world. They're from another world. So those teddy bear stats are different than the ones in this fantasy world. Yeah, you get to play with it and do what you want. Hopefully your DM allows you. I think the roleplay opportunities for this are endless, because you would need to come up with a reason why this toy has come to life. You know, So in universe, in Cinnamon and Oatmeal's world, they don't know. Same thing in the fantasy world, actually. We haven't really got into it, and we don't want to give too much spoilers, but nobody really knows where everyone comes from. They've kind of explained already in the fantasy world, like, teddy bears have only really been around for around 10 years. As far as living animated stuffed animals have only been around for 10 years. Cinnamon and Oatmeal's world, it's been a lot longer, but neither world really knows their origins or where they come from. And that's going to kind of play into the plot later down the road. So I'm kind of curious to see how you do it in your game. Are there plenty of stuffed animals, stuffed toys, or is it just one solo teddy bear? You know, maybe it's a family of necromancers trying to conquer death, and they realize they can't do it inside of flesh and bone, so they have to put their souls into like inanimate objects, and they're in toys now or something, you know? Or it could be opposite. It could just be some kid with this super overactive imagination, maybe like a sorcerer, you know? He just has like all this inherent abilities, but he channels it into one place, and that's his favorite toy. That's his best friend. So now his, I don't know, his stuffed giraffe or his stuffed turtle comes to life. That kind of opens you up too for a cool, you could do a cool subclass. You could try doing like a, well, I know there's certain rules and stuff about like a ranger, like what kind of companion they can have, like what the race needs to be. But, you know, maybe your DM will let you play a ranger with a stuffed animal companion. Or even druids. They just, I think, druid, the wildfire druid. That'd be really interesting, seeing that they're flammable. But you have like a little wildfire spirit companion that's like a toy. I really want to see people just run and play with the teddy bear race. And if you don't like the race we came up with, make your own. Just let us know. Because like I said, this is already like the third version of this race we've played with. And I'm pretty sure we're going to be altering it as we go. And we'll probably end up doing this episode again at some other point, just to keep you updated. So, but if you do, if you like it, you have fun with it, hit us up. Hashtag Cinnamon and Oatmeal. I want to hear about your stories. I want to hear about your characters, any kind of stuffy you make. Let us know. And also send us questions, because the Sam Chat, like I said, is usually just for Patreon. So that's where we answer those questions. That's where the questions are sent. But since this episode and probably the next one as well, we're just going to air it on the channel. Send it and Twitter. You know, I think Cinnamon Oatmeal, we're on Instagram. I guess you could send us message, comments or whatever, and we'll try and answer it by the next episode. Hopefully we will have Sam back for the next Sam Chat. And so then it's not just me talking and losing my voice, talking nonstop. Until then, have fun with your stuffed animal race. Go have some adventures. We'll see you out there.